Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. No, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I guess since my name is on the board, I better get up here. I was asked to do a little history of the church, and I kept on thinking and thinking, what am I going to say? I mean, I could be up here for hours talking about the history of the church, not only the church that was in downtown Ross, as Steve Kales used to call it. We were always in downtown Ross, but also the church here. And there's so many stories, so many people that have made it possible for us to be here. It was the members of the church when we were in downtown Ross. And I was trying to remember all the people that used to come here years ago. And Butch Foster's mom and dad were a big part of that church. Mary Blyton's and Jim Blyton, they are Brenda Brown's mom and dad. They were a big part of that. There were the Brooks, the Tollies, the Taylors, the Cecils. They were the beginning of that church. And once we decided to move to a new location, it was not the easiest decision we made. As some of you can say, yes, it was not. But it was something that we had to do in order to grow. We could not stay where we were at and be at the way we were. So we had to look for a new location. We looked around, looked at a couple of them. A couple of them that we wanted were down closer to downtown Ross, but we didn't get them. We got this, and I am so glad. There were so many people that started the building. We had volunteers in mission that came and worked. We decided in the plans, we even put up electric and water so they could bring their campers out and they could help work on the building, in which they did. Also, there were people in the congregation that spent a lot of time at the building, helping it to grow. So when we decided to move, we decided that we wanted a place that was for everybody. We wanted a ground big enough so that we could have people in the back. And that's the reason why we have the baseball fields, because we started out with three, and they were using it before. before we even started building. There are, I'm kind of rambling because I've lost my train of thought. But one thing I do want to say is that this is a building. The people make it a church. Without the people in this church, there would be nothing. And I just want to thank everybody who came today to share that with us. Thank you.
Let us please stand for our call to worship. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise God in His fortress, the sky. Praise God in His mighty acts. Praise God
as suits His incredible greatness.
Let every living thing praise the Lord.
There's a church in the valley by the wildwood, no lovelier spot in the dale. No place is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church by the wildwood. Oh, loveliest church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. How sweet on a clear Sunday morning to listen to the clear ringing bells. Its tones so sweetly are calling, oh, come to the church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church by the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. From the church in the valley by the wildwood, when day fades away into night, I would fain from this spot of my childhood wing my way to the mansions of light. Oh, come, 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 come to the church by the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the
vale. Good morning. This is great. Look out and see all these people here. Novella Brownfield brought some poems in that Dave Brownfield had written. This man, I can't tell you how great a man this man was. And it's such an honor to read his poems. The first one is The Sunrise. Today I watched and waited, excuse me, beside a wind-calm sea, as God's magnificent wonder revealed once more to me. I saw the dawn, it's breaking, yet had not seen the sun. Patience, came the answer, God's day has just begun. Then the clouds grew fleecy, a crown upon their heads. The molten arc ascended, the fleece turned white to red. The glory did not end then, it grew with gentle care. And all who want to see it would find God's presence there. And then the sunset. The horizon seems aflame at twilight. Autumn trees stood stark and dread. The sun had gone, yet lingered, painting clouds radiant gold and red. The earth was both calm and eerie, as far-off sounds were heard. The evening air seemed to catch it all, a crescendo of sight, sound, and verve. Then the scene slowly slipped away, earth changed to its darkness hour. But we'll never forget that dying day when nature displayed its sensual power. I want to thank Novella for bringing these in. Thank you.
Church is one foundation, it's Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From hell he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life she died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. Mid toil and tribulation and tumbles of her woe, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed. Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we like them the meek and lowly on high may dwell with
those who have passed. They are in alphabetical order.
not in dates of passing. James T. Blitton, Mary C. Blyton, Clyde Brooks, David Bromfield, Steve Kales, Della Campbell, Wanda Courtney, James Denning, Diane Foster, Dorothy Gard, Jeanette Glover, Sandra Taylor Kammeyer, N.B. King, Ralph Landis, Mary Leacock, Anita Louise Chicky Massey. Sorry. Gus Mate, Jerry Burrs, Margaret Montgomery, Carl Naumann, Thomas Niemöller, Lloyd Pappett, Travis Pay, William Lee Prentice, Margaret Puckett, Carl Simple, Marcia Simple, Gladys Perry Squires, Dorothy Winnie Wurls, Helen Wiley.
Good morning, everyone. You could tell by the emotion of Debbie reading those names of people who have passed how much we love them. And I had a whole host of those people's funeral myself. And Ann and I are delighted to be here. As you know, we spent 12 years here. But I want to go back beyond that just a moment, if you would. Twenty years ago, there was a small trailer out on this church lot. And that's all that was there, just a small trailer. In that trailer, from Sunday to Sunday, would come a little group of people, sometimes 20. And Reva Denning is here today, and she said it got down to only 7 people being there sometimes. Now, what do you think about this small group of people? They met Sunday after Sunday. The building wasn't here. And they were in a holding pad around out there and praying and hoping and dreaming that someday this building would exist. But if you go back and look at those 8, 7, 10 people, and just think for a moment. They never gave up. They never quit. They never stopped dreaming or hoping. And in spite of having very little money and all the debt that they were in and their small numbers, they held on. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen? We would not be celebrating this 20-year anniversary without those 8 and 10 people out in that little trailer. We are here because they were there and they never gave up. And the legacy of this church is people who do not give up. But for 7 and 8 people, that's why we are here by the grace of God. They never quit. They never gave up. Then they moved out of that little trailer finally while this church was being constructed. And I remember Reba Denny telling me that the new sanctuary, now the trailer was the first sanctuary on this property. The new sanctuary was where the kitchen now is. And they didn't have heat. So here this little group would come, and they would have fellowship. They'd dress warmly and do all of that, and they'd light their candles, and they'd say their prayers and have their Bible studies while the church was being built. That little group led the pilgrimage into this building, and we're here because of that group. And then we had the good fortune by the grace of God to have a wonderful pastor by the name of Wayne Weeder. He was the one that came when this church was being built. Just a lay minister, not a seminary graduate. And maybe that's the reason he was so successful, you suppose? But he was the catalyst. He loved those people, and they loved him. And they wrapped their arms around each other, believed in each other, and hoped and prayed. Can you imagine how many calls that man must have made, how many committee meetings he had, meeting with all the committees, the painting, and everything that goes into this? But he held it together, and they loved one another, and they never gave up. That's why we can celebrate these 20 years of this church this morning. And then in the year 2000, I got a call from the district superintendent. He said, "Grant, I know you're retired." And I was 70 years old, but said, "Can you go to Ross and fill in for two or three Sundays?" It ended up, we were here for 12 years. And 20 of these years we celebrate, 12 of them belong to me by the grace of God, good or bad. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you, they were 12 of the most beautiful years of Ann and I's life. It was a sacred journey. It wasn't all easy and fun. There were times there was confusion about this or that, the other, but we never stopped loving each other. We never stopped dreaming. We never stopped hoping, and we never stopped working. And that accounts also for being able to celebrate this wonderful occasion today. Now, my wife is here this morning, and I would be amiss to talk about my ministry because it never has been my ministry. It has been your ministry, but certainly it has been my wife's ministry. And, you know, my wife is a people person. Been in a lot of churches who have been willing to vote me out, but so long as I could have left my wife behind. That's just the truth. And she loves to hug people. And a lot of you here in this building have been hugged many, many times by my beautiful wife. Amen? Well, I was doing some math the other day. And according to my math, those 12 years, she hugged almost 40,000 people. Actually, 39,600 to be exact, not even counting the social functions. She was my assistant and my mate and my wonderful companion. No ministry can really be complete without a team that love each other and love the people they are privileged to serve. And such has been our case. We were down in Cincinnati last week. Woody Vaden Fitton, many of you may know him. He's been here. And he was facing a life and death situation. So they asked me to go, and when I'm asked to go, I go. And so there he was. You know, he'd had a serious back operation, could hardly move around. And my wife comes in, and he opens his eyes, and he wanted to know, "And where is my hug?" There is a ministry that happens as people are greeted when they leave the church. There is an exchange of love and hope and dreams. And good to see you. Glad to be a part of this. And you get, they'll tell you things going out that they'll never tell you anywhere else. I'm trying to say what a wonderful thing it was for Ann and I to be a part of this church's spiritual journey. But now look around you today. This beautiful sanctuary. And when I look at what has happened in this sanctuary, the beauty, the warmth, and I look at all this, and I think Larry is right behind me here, which means I'm going to be careful what I say. I know the work that it takes to accomplish what you've done in this sanctuary. I know the hours, and I can name the men in this church who you have spent hours here in this place working to make this celebration today what it is. And I really simply want to compliment you and to thank you for all that you've done to make this happen. And you know something, my friends? It's right. It's just a building in many regards. But a lot of memories are here. A lot of beautiful things have happened here. People have found the Lord here. We've wept together, cried together. And now God is calling you to your future, the next step, the future of this church. And I'd like to leave with you. We used to sing a chorus. Remember that chorus we'd sing from Sunday to Sunday? Go in love. Well, you're moving into your future now. And I'd like to use those words as my blessing to you as you move into your future. Go in love. Have no fear. God will guide you. He is always near. Go in love. Take his hand. God will hear you. He will understand. May his light forever shine upon you. May his peace be always in your heart. Go in love. Face each day. God will lead you. He will show you the way. Go in love, beloved. Go in faith. That's my blessing to you as you move into your future. And thank you again for making our 12 years here a part of the fabric of our memory that will bless us the rest of our lives. God bless you.
You know, you don't sit behind someone unless they went before you. And all I hear is what great words are said about Grant Montgomery. And I've told I don't know how many people. I have never met anyone more gracious than this man. God bless you. Thank you. Appreciate you being here. God bless you.
I said to Larry one day, standing outside the door there, he said, these people love you, Grant. And I said, Larry, these people are going to love you. Isn't that the case? Amen.
Normally, in the beginning of the service, I would have opened with prayer and introduced some people, but you do know the Montgomerys, so we're glad you're here. Another couple that are very good friends of theirs and have spoken here before is Reverend Dan Snyder and his wife, Joanne. We're glad you're here. Thanks for coming. And to everyone else that's a guest, we're just glad you're here. It's a joy to have you with us. And we normally take this time and ask people for joys and concerns, and because of the number of people here, I know that there would be several. I want to share a couple with you, and then we're just going to have a pastoral prayer. My joy is to see you. And I can guarantee you that it's the joy of people sitting next to you to see you. And we are so glad you're here. A couple concerns. Many of you know Betty Mers. And I talk with Kathy about every couple weeks. I talked with her Thursday. And I'm not a pessimist, you know. But it doesn't look real good. When I talked to Kathy a couple weeks ago, she didn't tell me that. Well, she told me they went to the doctor in July, and she told me it's okay to share this. But they said in July she maybe has 3 months to live. And when I talked to her Thursday, she said that she's not eating. You know, she said she ate a chicken strip and some macaroni. And said maybe sleeping 18 hours a day. And, you know, and I said, is there anything that we can do? You know, I said, because if there is, let us know, because we'd love to do it. And she said, you know, there really isn't, you know. And somebody had mentioned about visiting her. And if you do, give Kathy a call and just see if it's okay. But she had some people come see her about 3 weeks ago, and they called to go back. And Kathy said, no, she's just really not up to it. So, just keep Betty and them in your prayers. And I did tell you the upside, that there's an upside to everything. When I talked to Kathy, she said that Terry had lost another 15 pounds. That's 115 pounds he had lost. And nobody likes rehab. You know, I mean, I had it for my shoulder and I didn't like it. But apparently he has to go to rehab to learn to walk without a walker. So rehab's not all bad. So, you know, that's the good news. So. Anyway, would you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day that you have blessed us with. And we give you thanks that Jesus came. Because he came, we can celebrate life, love, salvation, freedom, the future. Because we have a future. And it's because of him. So Lord, we give you thanks for each and every person that's passed through these doors today. And we ask that you just touch their hearts in a special way. Bless their lives and their families, Lord. Speak to us all that we will keep that vision that you gave 20 years ago. And that vision is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people that we come in contact with. So Lord, keep that vision warm on our hearts, warm in our minds. And Lord, if there are, and we're certain there are, needs represented by people in this sanctuary this day, Lord, we bring them to you when we ask that you touch those lives. And if it's in a financial need that they have, Lord, we pray that you'll touch them financially. If it's a physical need, Lord, as we shared about Betty, we just pray, Father, that you give her strength. And we know that our days are ordered and ordained by you, and how thankful we are for that, because we know that nothing can happen to us in this world and in this life that you have not ordained. And Lord, we don't understand everything, but we understand tomorrow. And we understand the joy of heaven and the peace and the health and the wholeness and the joy that we'll have that day. So for those needs, we bring them to you and we commit them to you, and we're going to believe that you're going to touch those lives and help people that have a need. And so Lord, as we join together and pray the prayer that you taught us to pray, We pray, Father, that that will speak to our hearts in love, faith, and joy and concern for each other. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Hymns of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. I was lost in utter darkness till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing. Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing. Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing.
I really didn't leave. But I just realized I should have probably introduced Wes's dad. I mean, this is a tough crowd today. with Pastor Grant and Pastor Dan Snyder back there, and then Wes's father, who's a retired Baptist minister. So it's good to have you with us today. We don't always get to talk to Baptists, so it's, you know. I sense it's going to be a tough morning. A couple things I just want to mention. Karen gave me this morning. You know, we sponsored a team last year of Ross soccer team, and they had pink shirts. Well, that team's not around, but Karen showed me that. Well, she didn't give it to me. It wouldn't fit. But told me this is team that Katie's on this year. This is just some of the things we're doing in the community, sponsoring soccer teams, and we've got the soccer field out here that they can use. So she did tell me they had won their first game, tied their second game, and I think that's probably more games than they won all last year. I believe that's what Karen said. I'm not sure, but I think that's what it was. And one other just quick note. I got this from Sarah Winstead, and it says, "Thank you for my new Bible for graduation. I've already begun to study the Word of God further in it, along with my other two. This church is always my home and the place I first met God. Thank you." So it's, you know, it's always good to know what's going on and see those kind of things happening in our world. We look around and, man, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on the last few. You know, they told us that you should normally plan these things 2 years in advance. We did it 2 months in advance. So a lot of stuff went on. But my thanks to everybody that got involved. It's been a lot of, obviously, a lot of work and taken some time. But we're very fortunate that people were willing to step up and do things, whether it be serving, whether it be, you know, working, whether it be preparing for the day, whether it being preparing cookies and brownies and Wayne's favorite lemon bars. We are thankful that, you know, and really appreciative of everything that you've done. And I mentioned some guests, but you're our guest too. And so feel free to walk around, look around. If I haven't met you yet, that's both of our faults. Because you were trying to get in and I was trying to talk to people. If you didn't sign our guest book, please do before you leave. We would love to have a record of that. And at the end of the service, we've got a time capsule we're going to open back in the corner back there. Stop by and take a look at it. We really have no idea what's in it, but we know that there's probably more in it than what Jim told me was in the last one, which was nothing. So trust that, you know, that there will be some things in it. I normally start every Sunday morning out with a joke, and so we're going to do the same thing today. There was this guy at a ticket counter at an airport. And he was really being belligerent, really being obnoxious with the ticket agent. She was doing everything in the world she could do to calm the guy down. But she was having no success at all. The more she tried to help him, the more obnoxious and belligerent that he became. So finally she was able to get him through the ticket process, and he went on to the gate, and the guy that walked up behind him said, "Man, lady," he said, "you must be a Christian." She said, "There's no other way that you could have dealt with that other than the way that you did." And she said, "Oh, that's no big deal. He's going to Detroit. His bags are going to Bangkok." Okay. What I want to do today is take a little time and share about three people from the Old Testament that really shows where God's favor is on people and what God will do for people. The first one is a guy by the name of Job. And a lot of us are probably familiar with Job. I heard somebody say one day that their father became a Christian at age 17, was called to be a pastor, and the very first sermon he preached was out of the book of Job. He didn't know it was Job. But Job is an interesting character, and if you get a chance, Old Testament is really, You look at it and you think, man, this is really tough to read, and this, some of this doesn't make sense, and I can't pronounce the name, and it doesn't make any difference if you call him Obed or you call him Todd. It really doesn't make any difference. But get it out. Get a version of the Bible that, you know, that you can read, and it is an excellent historical account of what happened. But Job, if you look at the first five chapters of Job, you'll see a story of a very pious man. In the midst of prosperity, and Job was a very prosperous man, he had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of animals. And he had been blessed by God. But the story tells us there that one day that the sons of God were, and these are angels, were walking along the earth, and they presented themselves to God. But it also says there was one other person there, one other angel there, and that was Satan. Said, and Satan presented himself also. And so Satan wanted to do whatever he could to get a hold of Job and destroy Job. And I really believe he thought he could probably do it. And so what God did was he said, I will give you certain limitations, and there's certain things that you can do, but you cannot have his life. And that's the thing that we need to remember. Sometimes we think, you know, how bad life is, but it's never over until God says it's over. Make a difference who you are. So what he did is, you know, is he allowed him to, you know, to do things for to Job, and you'll find in chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, that there were four messengers came to Job while he was there. And the first one says, all of your oxen and your donkeys have been stolen, and all of the people that were watching have been killed, except for me, and I was able to escape. No sooner than that person had left, the next one come along, and he says, fire fell, and all of your sheep were destroyed, and all of your servants were destroyed, except for me, and I was able to get away to tell you this. Next comes a third messenger, and he says, your camels were stolen, and those servants that were tending them were killed, but I was able to get away to tell you what happened. And the fourth calamity is probably the worst, because all of his children were in his eldest son's house, and the wind come along, blew the house down and killed all of his children, killed his family. And most people would start blaming God. And would start saying, why God did this happen? But not Job. The Bible says in verse 20, chapter 1, verse 22, he said, Job got up to his feet, ripped his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground and worshiped. He goes on to say, God gives, God takes. But God's name is to be blessed. As it seems like maybe nothing else could happen to Job, but if you go on and read more through the chapter, through the, that chapter and through the book of Job, you'll see further things happen to Job. And maybe the worst calamity of all that fell to him, and, you know, aside from those things, is his three friends. And I've mentioned those three friends before. And they were the picture of less than friendship, to say, you know, to say the least. They would not be my friends. And if you had those friends that told you to curse God and die and, you know, and denounce God and everything, it's time to find new friends. But Job's story doesn't end there. And that's the great thing about it. And nor does ours. Our life doesn't end there either. If we go over to the chapter, 42nd chapter of Job, and we'll see. Job says, I'm convinced you can do everything. Now that's somebody that had lost everything. He says, but God, I'll listen. You do the talking. And he goes on to say, I lived of rumors of you. But he says, now I have it firsthand. From my own eyes and from my own ears, I have it firsthand. And when Job realized that, the Bible says he prayed for his friends. And when he prayed for his friends, if you look in 42, it'll say that he was restored double. Everything that he lost, God blessed him double for what he has lost. I love what, you know, what Job says that. You know, he says, God says, I made all that is around you. I made the universe. I made all that you see. What you have is what I have given you. And this is only the beginning. Here's what Job said. You gave me life itself, an incredible love. You watched and guarded every breath I took. So there's Job. There's another lady in the Old Testament by the name of Ruth. Interestingly enough, that there's only two books in the Old Testament that are named after women. Ruth and Esther. And I think that's kind of interesting because these must have been really special people. What we have with Ruth and the situation here is Ruth was a Moabite woman who was married to an Israelite. And they had left there, the country, and went back to the land where the Moabites lived because of famine. And their families had went back there. And what had happened is Ruth's husband had died. And so Ruth had to make a decision. Am I going to stay here, or am I going back to Israel with my mother-in-law? And her mother-in-law's name was Naomi. And it was a tough decision because what do I do? You know, everything that I have is here. But Naomi wants to go back. And she made that tough decision, I think, to go back with her mother-in-law to Israel. And when they got back there, what we find really is the beginnings of a story of love, commitment, and redemption. They went back to a culture that really was often, looked upon, and people like that were forgotten. Widows were forgotten. Poor people were forgotten. And what they had back there was really a life of poverty. That was it. They needed the basics of life. They needed food. They needed clothing. They needed shelter. But what I think Ruth realized, same thing that Job realized, God is always in control. Not just sometimes, but always. And so what Ruth did is she ended up going out into the fields and she went out gathering up the leftover grain, because this was about the time of the barley harvest. So she went out and gathered up the leftover grain that was in the field so she could feed herself and she could feed Naomi. And there was a guy that owned a field, and God had directed Ruth to this field, and his name was Boaz. Boaz was a very prosperous farmer, and one of the things that you had to be cautious about back there is some of the reapers, some of the people that owned the field were less than kind people. They were greedy. They were trying to get, you look around and say, that's the way it is today. But you look around and and they were trying to grab everything that they could. And there was other people out there trying to get the same thing, the same food, the same barley that Ruth was trying to get. But Boaz happened to see Ruth one day, and he realized that she was out there, and she was not only caring for herself, but she was caring for her mother-in-law. And so when he saw that, he told the people that were doing his harvesting, he said, leave extra grain for Ruth. In fact, it wasn't only extra grain. He said, leave bales for her. And so God was showing Ruth favor through Boaz. Naomi, being the smart woman that she was, looking for probably a husband for her daughter-in-law, if anybody's ever done that. I look down here and get Cindy's approval every once in a while. I didn't introduce my wife. This is my wife, Cindy. Grant said something I thought was really good. He said they would have let him go but keep Ann. They probably did the same thing here. But what we have here is Boaz taking favor upon someone. And so what Naomi does is says to Ruth is, make yourself beautiful and go to Boaz. And so she does. And there was a custom in that culture that an older man would never propose marriage to a younger woman. And Ruth was much younger than he was. But there was also a custom, and God is in control, in this culture, that it was okay for a younger woman to propose to an older man. That's the way Cindy got me. And it was okay. in that culture for that to happen. So we look at that and we say, you know, and we see what's going on and what's God's plan here? Well, what happens is God takes care of Ruth because Boaz redeems Naomi's land for her. She was empty, but now she's full. Ruth, who was a widow, her husband was killed in battle, is now buried. God has prepared the line of descent. And this is what's really unique. Because you remember David, King David, he's in that line, but so's Boaz. And so's another guy, and I mentioned Obed earlier, Todd, but there was another guy by the name of Obed. He's in that line of the birth of Jesus. And the other thing that Ruth never had to do again was go out and gather grain. God found favor with Ruth, and Ruth found favor with God. Ruth said to Boaz, "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, sir, because you've comforted me and because you have spoken kindly to your female servant, even though I am not one of your servants." So God showed favor to Job. He showed favor to Ruth. But there's another character in the Old Testament that you're going to look at and say, "You've got to be kidding me." Rahab. Who was Rahab? Bluntly, Rahab was a prostitute. No other way of saying it. The Bible says that. And if you remember back in the Old Testament, when they were getting ready to go into the Promised Land, Rahab. It's recorded in the book of Joshua. Where was I? I don't know where I was. God had sent spies into the land through Moses to confirm that it was okay. And if they, when they came back, all the spies came back together and they all said, "We look like," and we talked about this, "we look like grasshoppers to those people, except for Caleb and Joshua." And so what happened, and this is kind of an unexpected thing, but Joshua sent spies back into the land. And when they go back into Jericho, and Jericho was a walled city because if you remember, the walls came tumbling down. It was a walled city, and so anyway, they got in there, and at night they would close the gates to the city. And so when they went to Jericho that night, of all people's houses to go to, they went to Rahab's house. And the king, hearing that there was strange people in the community, sends his servants to Rahab's house and says, "Where are the men that are here?" Which is not uncommon with what her occupation was. You would expect people, and they would expect men to be at her house. And whether it, you know, and I did some reading this week, and I'm not sure whether it was the fact that Rahab didn't like the government at the time, didn't like the king, didn't like the leadership, or she was like everybody else in Jericho, scared of the Israelites. But she hit them and, you know, and sent the guards on their way. But she was not beyond making a deal. And she said, "If I protect you, when you destroy the city, I want you to protect me and my family." And so the spies made a deal with her. They told her, said, "Hang a red or scarlet ribbon or something out of your window, and we will know that when we come in, that we will not take your life." And we look at ourselves sometimes and we think, "Well, I've done this, but I've never done what, you know, what Rahab did." And I would say, good. But we look at that, and it's interesting when we see that, because Rahab comes out on the winning side. She wanted something in return. So we ask, what kind of favor did God give Rahab? Get this. We read in Matthew, Solomon had Boaz. You know who his mother was? Rahab. That's amazing to me. Because you go on down through that line. Boaz had Obed. And Jesus is in the line of a prostitute. Rahab was his grandmother. It doesn't get much more favor than that when you really stop and think about it. So when we look around here and we think, well, that sounds good for Job and for Ruth and for Rahab, but what's it have in store for us? You know, who's next in line that should benefit from God's favor? And I think it's us. I think it's everyone in this room. I believe it's this church. No matter who we are, no matter where we came from, it only matters where we're going. And we can experience God's favor in our lives very simply. We look around at the renovations here and we listen to what Pastor Grant said and what Sandy said about the history of seven people. And look at where we are today. It's amazing the favor God shows on His people. And we couldn't celebrate it without that. We couldn't celebrate it without His favor, no matter what it is. But you know, the good thing is, we're not finished yet. We have dreams, and I like what Grant said. They had dreams, and we have dreams. And we're trusting that those dreams will come true. If you don't have a church home, you do now. Come on back. We're just a bunch of good people that love Jesus, that, you know what? We make mistakes. We'd like to say we don't, but we do. We get up every morning just like you do. But you know what? There's only one thing that's required. That's Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. So, you know, I said we're dreaming. We're planning on adding an addition out here. You know, it's kind of, I'm going to say it's in a dreaming stage, but we've done a little talking about it. That's our next goal. That's what we want to do. We have such an untapped resource a mile down the road of a high school and a junior high school. I don't know how many of those kids don't go to church somewhere, but I know how many of them could. That's part of my dream. And I'm confident that God's going to bring it to pass. Because God shows favor on His people. I think, and I believe, that He will show favor on you. I think God remembers every time we walk into a church. I'm not trying to guilt you into coming to church. Believe me, I'm not trying to do that. I don't do that stuff. But I believe that God sees that. And I believe that God sees every time you give someone a kind word. I believe God sees every time you give someone an unkind word. But a kind word, love, mercy, serving, giving, sharing, I think are things that God's recording and saying, I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to show love. I'm going to show favor on that person. Ephesians 3:20 says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you ever could imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it by what? Working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. So I believe God's going to bless you and show you favor by being here today. Because that's what He does. Job said, I know I have it firsthand from my own eyes and my ears. Ruth was redeemed. Naomi received her land back because of what Ruth did. Rahab was a prostitute and became a grandmother, great-grandmother in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And I think we can have the same favor, because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God bless you. It is good to see you. Hello, how are you? Let us know.
church, but to equip his disciples to grow that church. Now is the time that we come to give back a portion of what God has given us to him.
Bring this, our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings to your altar. May you take this and grow your kingdom the way that you want it to grow. Not the way that we see it or we dream it, but the way that you want it to be. Take it and use it. In the name of thy darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I have a parting thought, and that parting thought is this. Every Sunday we have started, I'm going to call it a tradition around here, of ending the service with giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. If you're not a Christian and you pray this prayer, then trust God that he has forgiven you. If you do pray the prayer, call me this week. I'd love to talk to you. But pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I confess my sin. I invite you into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are forgiven. You're going to heaven. You're not going to hell. And I believe in both places. Thanks for being here. I'm going to turn it over to Jim.
Thank you, Pastor. A couple of housekeepings before we end the service this morning, and I provide a blessing for the lunch. For those that are staying for the luncheon, we are going to recess by table, and the food will be buffet style in the adult Sunday school room, which is you go down the main hall and turn right, go in the front door, gather your food, and then bring it back to your table. If you're not staying for lunch and you have to depart, we would ask that to the degree you can, you stay until your table is recessed and just share God's love with those around you for the 5 or 10 minutes it takes for us to get to your table. It'll just make the order of getting through the hallway a little bit orderly for us as well. In just a few moments, we will also be opening the time capsule, as the pastor indicated. And for those that would like to view the contents of the time capsule from the previous 10 years, that will be laid out on the table in the back left, your back right, my back left. And then during the period of time that we're going through the buffet line and bringing your food back to the table, I'd like to say, number one, a special thank you to the 3+1. The music was just beautiful today. Thank you very, very much. And they have agreed to play some background music for us as we recess table by table for our luncheon this morning. So with that, I'd like to end with a blessing for our upcoming luncheon and pass on my thank you as well for everyone that's here. It is an absolute blessing to see all God's children here in the sanctuary, built from that core of 7 to what we are today. Let's bow our heads. But Lord, we come here today and we celebrate this 20 years of this building and this place of worship for you. But we recognize that it's like a cocoon is to the caterpillar, where we come in for the warmth and the strength, but we know your word and your love that spread with the fellowship, with the worship, with the music, is all to make us a butterfly as we leave this place, to spread your beauty, your joy, to all those in the world, and to be disciples as your son was, so that each of us can spread your love in our community. Now bless this food that we are about to eat as we celebrate the 20 years of this celebration. Bless it to nourish our minds and our bodies, and we thank you for every blessing you have bestowed upon us. In your name we pray, amen. And Judy, who is actually going to recess the tables? Oh, I guess it's Judy and I.
Sound of your name. my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let's sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. Sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have.
Yeah. Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, shall come.
Listen to you. He understands how his children feel. He will listen to you.
Okay. I'll be right behind you. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Lean on Jesus, lean on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim's way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.